A weak solidarity, Bricky team listener, when caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, said we had to oppose the Voice referendum so we could vote for his referendum not to give Terranulia's non-land, non-people a voice. Continuing his tactics since the referendum was mooted of going out of his way not to confuse the electorate. They won't miss having a, you know, like voice, he told us, because, like you know, they've never had one. And giving them a voice would divide the nation, Pete repeated. The referendum should be, like, called off because it is, you know, like dividing the nation. Good point, Pete. And do you think there might have been a bit less division if you'd only said yes? Oh, but of course, that wouldn't be good, caring business class politics. One of the better examples of polyspeak from State Public Transport Minister Ben Carroll excuses, asked about dropping promises to upgrade Western Metropolitan Rail services to Melton and Wyndham Vale. The promise, Ben explained, was not a promise, but an evolving commitment. Whatever that means. He better, the state socialists, better hope the people of Western Melbourne who turned against the government last election can understand it better than we can. Then again, the Minister for the Airline, which used to be our airline, Catherine King Hitt, proffered reason number, I think we're up to 136, for rejecting Qatar Airlines. The strip search of women by Qatar, and that would be a reasonable rejection, but for, King Hitt then says Qatar is welcome to fly anywhere else in Australia, except where it will compete with the airline which used to be. That does make a mess of reason 136. And this week, Monday, commemorates the tragedy of 9/11, to use the Americanism, September 11 hourism, the slaughter, the torture, the murders and persecution, as the good old CIA 50 years ago orchestrated the overthrow of an elected government and handed Chile 17 years of military butchery under General Pinochet, who avoided prosecution for war crimes, for murder, because of apparent terminal illness, incapacity, carried across the tarmac on a stretcher to be returned to Chile, and then almost running across the tarmac at the other end, showing the obvious cathartic value of long-distance flight. And if we're ever thinking of playing a John Denver song, remember Denver was seen in a documentary at a presidential palace garden party telling the camera how he loved Pinochet because he got rid of the commies. On the positive side, the US of the UN of the US of the world has obviously seen the error of its ways, regrets its heinous war crimes, as it now too holds huge commemorations on 9/11. Shame, too, the socialist government recognised Pinochet as the legitimate government, while the ACTU supremo nuclear hawk himself and the wheat board with government support attempted for those 17 years to have the maritime unions lift their boycott of Chile, which, to their credit, the union's credit, they maintained throughout. As a by-the-by, that photo last week of former US sub supremo Donald Trump of the poor gives a whole new meaning to the term mugshot. On the theme of mindless enforcers, little competition. Pick the redundant word. Headline this week. UK cops sexist racist. Sexist racist in quotation marks. And the answer? Oh, you're okay. It's obvious. UK. Cops sexist racist sums it up. A review in Britain, we'd suggest a totally unnecessary review, found cops were racist, sexist and homophobic. Gee, who would have thought? Back here, there's an inquiry into the cosy relationship between the coppers and the Nazis at that infamous event at Parliament House. Again, why hold an inquiry when we all know like attracts like? Caring employers have yet again predicted the end of the world as we know it. Proof that one day the wolf really won't come. End of again, due to the outrageous greed of workers and evil unions, complaining that new caring business class relations laws, same work, same pay, gig workers and casuals to be treated as workers with basic rights, making wage theft illegal, will cost the economy billions. Billions and billions, I think the poor dear said. And as we've said before, we can think of no reason for that figure other than having to pay those workers and provide basic conditions means they're now ripping those workers off by those billions and billions. That is, billions and billions over and above the normal wage slave ripoff. However, caring business class spokesperson Craig Bloated dismissed our infallible conclusion as fallible. Those billions are a cost to the economy, a further burden on caring employers who are already facing headwinds and difficulties. But Bloaty, I said, that money goes straight into workers' pockets. They'll be better off, a cost to you, a wage rise for them. This, Craig dissed, highlights their lack of concern for the common good. We have shareholders to think of, hard-working mums and dads shareholders, while those workers think only of themselves. Self, self, self. The billions the evil union paymasters are demanding from this evil union-controlled government is taking directly from the pockets of hard-working mums and dads shareholders. Oh, like Anthony Ura Pratt, Twitty Ray's Forrest, Gina Hardhart? Exactly, hard-working mums and dads. I thought it better not to mention to Bloaty that as the voyeuristic court battle continues in Perth, poor Gina might be regretting ever becoming a mum. Caring employers can breathe a little easier as the Senate, with caring business class shadow caring business class relations minister Michaelia Koch, the workers roping in the crossbenchers who clearly see unions as evil, has put off debating the legislation until next year. An inquiry into just how same work, same pay, gig and casual workers treated better, wage theft, a crime will crucify caring employers and therefore the economy. Michaela said this will allow her to travel around the country to hear from all interested stakeholders. Oh, workers being ripped off, Michaela. Gig workers, casual workers. I said all interested stakeholders. This work agreed hung a pall over the annual Resource Industries Minerals Conference this week, with Profits Council Supremo Tania Constable Profits accusing the government of jeopardising the nation's economic future with laws that would make mining more expensive and less productive. There are already profound risks that are gathering pace. There must be, because Bloaty told us that, headwinds and things. There's always something, isn't there? And how can caring employers solve the problems of slow wages growth that so worries them if they have to pay their workers even more? That revelation that the unions are paying the government salaries when we'd thought it was the public purse, exposed by caring business class party economic guru Angus Tailings, has been confirmed by the ever-responsible editorial column of the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review. The government is doing the bidding of the socialist union paymasters, including by making the operation of the flexible gig economy of the 21st century subject to the antiquarian rigidities of a workplace system born out of the capital versus labour class struggle of the early 20th century. Antiquarian rigidity. Can we think of anything worse? It would help if the deep-thinking editorialists could tell us when the class struggle stopped being class struggle, what part of the 20th century. It's a cause of eternal sadness for caring employers that workers and evil unions, for some inexplicable reason, still think there is class struggle. And a tragic loss to our lives, the departure of two great men who know there is no such thing as class struggle, therefore eliminating their lifelong attack on working people being defined as opposing class struggle. Yes, the airline which used to be our airline, Supremo Alan Joystick, leaving with his begging hands still out, while a corporate disaster lies in his wake, a revered national emblem reduced to a public relations disaster. Don't worry, Alan, the mess will survive for years while you enjoy your multi-million golden handshake. And of course, deep-thinking shock jock Neil Mitchell will be a tragic loss, particularly presuming our listener, like me, never listens to him anyway. A listener did ask me to raise Mitchell's departure, so a true story, not satire, but Many years ago, Mitchell asked me to debate some freeway issue with the then caring business class state transport minister. And while we were waiting to go into the studio, Steve Price, another Mitchell-style shock jock who was producing the program, came out rubbing his hands triumphantly and boasted to the minister how the day before they had whipped up opposition to the Save Albert Park group, which was opposing the Grand Prix, and the phones were ringing hot with people attacking Save Albert Park. The minister joined in the excitement, the celebrations, and Price totally forgot I was in the room, or didn't care. But don't panic. Whoever replaces Mitchell will bring this same objectivity and balance to the role. As we said with the coppers and the Nazis, like attracts like. All the more reason to support 3CR. Back to those headwinds blasting through the thin fabric of the poor caring employers, including the New South Wales Socialist Government increasing its royalty on the great coal behemoths, BHP for bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, Glen rotten to the core, white coal heaven et al., by a crippling 2.6%. All for no stronger reason than the obscene super-duper over-the-top profits they're raking in. And worse, the new impost will apply from July, giving them a mere 10 months to consult their tax lawyers and get their act together. It also led to the usual display of their renowned impeccable logic. The increase would threaten the national economy, they always say that, and threaten investment in new coal mines. And wouldn't that be a tragedy? Then in the same breath, they called for speeding up approvals of new mines. That is, presumably, speeding up approvals of the mines whose investment is threatened. See? Real logic. Suppose it would be silly to ask, given all our governments assure us they are committed to reducing pollution by nominated dates, how come they keep on approving new coal and gas projects at all? Obviously, part of their policies to address climate change, if there is such a thing, reduce fossil pollution through the fossil solution. Speaking of fossils, finally, as India revels in hosting the G20, with the filthiest rich ob discussing world-shattering issues like how to make themselves even more filthy rich, a report by a human rights group says 300,000 of the poorest of the poor were displaced and rendered homeless as they spruced up the joint and kept the poorest of the poor out of sight. A version of Modi operandi. Good morning.